And it had affected him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he wasn't the messenger of God, Allahu alam, what would have happened to him? Allah had given him strength. Because he used to say, if you were to know what I know about the people after they die, you would have laughed very little in your life and cried the majority of your life. And if I wanted to, I would have asked Allah to let you hear what's going on to the people in the grave, for those disbelievers or those who are whose souls have been evil souls. But because you bury your people in there, I fear to tell you, because then you'll bury no one in the graves afterwards. And you'll have a miserable life. It is the mercy of Allah that we forget. There are many stories that we hear about of people dying, and you personally have heard many of them from people very close to me, who say things as though there are presence of people in there, in the room, but they're not. But we cannot see them. And I remember, rahmatullah alayhi, my own grandfather who died. I wasn't there, but I was still a baby at that time. But I remember my grandmother telling me, Allah have mercy on her soul too. She says, when your grandfather was dying, he'd tell me, please give me some water. I need to drink water. So give him some water, and then he'd say, sit me up and clean the house. Look at these beautiful guests, open up some space for them. He used to say that, wallahi. And not only from my grandfather, from many other stories like that, from close friends of mine. He'd drink some water and say, I'm ready to meet them now. I'm ready to tell them to come in. Tell why they're outside. Tell them to come in. In the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the moments that he will be closest to his servant is when they are in the grave with no anis or jalis, with no companion of their family from this life. He will be very close to them to look after them. So when a person dies or passes away in your family or someone friendly to you, always remember, a stranger has not captured him, he's not imprisoned, he's not kidnapped, but he is taken away by the most merciful Allah who created you and them. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Man yahdihi Allahu fala mudilla lah, wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. My brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'd like to welcome you here to the second part of this series about the hereafter. We are speaking about the journey from this life to the hereafter and what happens. And we use it, inshallah, as a reminder to ourselves. And I'd like to just recap a little bit on what we did last week, just very quickly, inshallah. Wa alaykum as-salam. That a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, when is the last hour? He said, ماذا أعددت لها? What have you prepared for it? The question is not that when are we going to die, but it's rather what have we prepared for our end? And the hereafter, al-qiyamah, does not only mean the end of the world. Whoever dies, then that is his qiyamah. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the Sahih hadith, مَنْ مَاتَ فَقَدْ قَامَتْ قِيَامَتُ. Whoever dies, then their last hour has come. In another hadith he said, وَالْقَبْرُ أَوَّلُ مَنَازِلِ الْآخِرَةِ. And the graves are the first stations that a person stops at, of the stations of the hereafter. Once a person dies, they have been transferred from this life into the next life. Today, inshallah, we will talk about that next life and the process of death and what happens there. And last week, we also spoke about the preparation of death and how to work in order to have a good ending rather than a bad end. And that the Prophet ﷺ's main concern, even himself as a prophet, he used to be concerned about how his end would be. And he is the Messenger ﷺ, whom Allah had forgiven his past, present and future of any sins he ever would have done or will do. Although the Prophet ﷺ didn't sin in the religion, of course. However, he used to say, in the famous dua which we learn from him, he used to say, Allahumma tawaffani ala al-iman. Oh Allah, let me die as a true believer, with true iman. And he used to advise his companions to say that same dua. He used to also say, Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala dinik. Oh Allah, the one who controls the hearts. He can turn them in any way, direction he wants to. Make my heart firm on your religion. Because Ibrahim alayhi salam, his dua, his famous dua in the Quran, where he would say, Oh my Lord, save me on a day when no wealth or children can benefit them except he who comes with qalbin salim, with a heart that is pure and ready, at peace. So the end is very important for us. And we gave some stories last week about this. We spoke about the fact that nobody knows when they are going to die. And that Allah says, no one knows what they're going to be doing tomorrow or in which land they are going to die. And therefore, we are in that preparation. You must live life with death in mind, as if you're going to die tomorrow. And I don't know if this narration is weak or strong, but its meaning is good. They attribute it to Ali radiallahu anhu, saying that, اعمل لدنياك كأنك تعيش أبدا واعمل لآخرتك كأنك تموت غدا. Work for your dunya as if you are living forever, and work for your hereafter as if you're going to die tomorrow. Regardless of whether this narration is authentic from him or not, the meaning is correct, if you like. But resorting to what the Prophet ﷺ said, prepare for your hereafter, and that's sufficient, inshallah. Because I find it a little bit hard to find, you know, to sort of justify between working for your dunya as if you're going to live forever and working for your hereafter as if you're going to live till tomorrow. It's a bit ambiguous in some way. So work for your hereafter encompasses working for your world and the hereafter. Why not put both in one aim, inshallah? Whatever you do for this world, even if it's for the future, make it for the sake of Allah. And therefore, you make it for the dunya and for the hereafter. And we'll begin with this lesson now, inshallah. Al-yaqeen. Al-yaqeen is an Arabic word that's also used in the Quran and the hadiths of the Prophet ﷺ. This word al-yaqeen literally means that which is the truth, which is the absolute truth. And Allah says in the Quran, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. And worship your Lord. He's talking to the Prophet ﷺ. Worship your Lord until the yaqeen arrives to you. Arrives to you. Al-yaqeen means death here. Death. And by this, the mufassirun, interpreters of the Quran, the scholars, they came to the conclusion that death is the greatest reality. Even non-Muslim, no one can deny the reality of death. And Allah says, worship your Lord right until the yaqeen comes to you. Death. Death comes to you. Death actually comes to you. And it cannot run away from it. Allah says in the Quran, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُ يَأْتِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. Wherever you are, death will come to you. وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدَةٍ. Even if you were encompassed by strong walls, by strong walls and pillars all around you. Death will come to you, no matter where you are. So there is no running away from it. Allah says, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every single soul shall taste death. You will taste it, every one of us. We'll all even taste the intoxications of death. A person asked me the other day, does everybody feel the pain of death, even believers? Because this contradicts the hadith, that a believer's soul comes out nice and peaceful. The answer to that, the Prophet ﷺ told us that everyone will taste the sakarat of death. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ. The intoxications of death have come in reality. And Rasul ﷺ himself used to feel the intoxications of death. He said when he was dying, he used to wipe his forehead and he would say, Subhanallah, inna lil mawti la sakarat. Glory be to Allah. To death, there really are intoxications. And sakra literally means intoxication. It also means to be in a state of unconsciousness. It's also used for alcohol when a person gets sakar, you know, intoxicated, or you, in other words, you lose consciousness because of the alcohol level in your brain, affecting your brain. So death has intoxications, and this is what every person shall feel. Unconsciousness, whether immediate or slow, or bits after bits. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ told us, لَقِّنُوا مَوْتَاكُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Say the word La ilaha illallah in front of the people who are dying, so they can say it themselves. Why? Because their unconsciousness comes in and out, and they may hear it and be able to say it. And the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ كَانَ آخِرُ كَلَامِهِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever's last words are La ilaha illallah will enter paradise. We mentioned last week that depending on how you live your life predominantly full of taqwa, then your end will be good. You live your life predominantly full of disobedience, then end will be something like that. Dying on something of disobedience. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from that, and to let us die in a peaceful state which He is pleased about. Peaceful as in the way that we'll meet Allah peacefully in the hereafter. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, death is the greatest reality. And subhanAllah, a believer looks at death in a different way than a non-believer looks at it. The non-believer runs away from it and tries not to think about it. The believer knows that it's the reality and is in preparation for it every day, and what? Reminds himself of it all the time. Reminds himself about it all the time. I remember back when I was a little bit younger, and we'd be driving somewhere near my home, there was a cemetery there, and there are two routes that you can take. One person, we were in the car together, he was in another car. SubhanAllah, he called us on the mobile that time and said, please take the other route. We said, why? He said, I don't like passing the cemetery. It just gives me the shivers. I said to him, brother, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam encouraged us to actually visit the cemetery. Don't be afraid. But let it remind you, inshallah. It's a good thing to remind you, because you don't know when we'll be in there. He said, no, I don't want to think about it right now. I'm young, I want to enjoy my life. That's a person who is a bit far away. Until one day, a tragedy happened in their own family, and the brother returned. Now death looked him in the eyes, and it made him connect himself with Allah, actually. So alhamdulillah for that. Yeah, it's a tragedy, but alhamdulillah that he has returned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, "Ala inni qad nahaytukum an ziyaratil qubur." Behold, I used to forbid you from going to visit the graves, graveyards. "Ala fazuruha." Behold, everyone, now go and visit it. Fa innaha tudhakkirukum bil akhirah. It reminds you of the hereafter. There is a wisdom why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say something before and then say something else later. Remember, Islam came down in context and as people changed. But the point is now, forever, he encouraged us to visit the graves. And to the best of my knowledge, it includes the women as well, although some scholars differ on that. It includes women as well to visit the graves, except at the time of the funeral when it's going there. Women should not follow, for a wisdom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, and we can also see some of its wisdom manifest when women come along and they're emotionally affected. And her awra may show or whatever. But a man is responsible to put that person in the grave. And no matter how emotional they may get, you know, it's not as bad as, you know, a woman losing herself in front of men. For the graveyards remind us of the hereafter. And the loser is a person who doesn't remind themselves, runs away from it. Because Allah says in the Quran, وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتُ لِلْحَقِّ ذَلِكَ مَا كُنْتَ مِنْهُ تَحِيدَ. Here, this is a warning, like it's as if it's a threat to those who run away from this reality and don't want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, and so the intoxications of death came to you, this is what you are running away from. Allah is talking to a person who runs away from it, doesn't want to think about it. ذَلِكَ مَا كُنْتَ مِنْهُ تَحِيدَ. You're trying to avoid death. So now the question is, طيب, we learnt about all of this. How does the soul exit the body? And is there a difference between the believer and the disbeliever? Yes, there is. And the Prophet ﷺ described, as if you can see it, the soul exiting from the body of the believer and the disbeliever. There is a long hadith. The hadith goes something like this. I'll cut off some words just to get you to the point, inshallah. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sitting once with his companions. This hadith is sahih, he'll find it also in Bukhari and Muslim. And a janazah passed by. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked about that person. And then he ran. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked very fast until he reached a place where there was like just soil. And he fell to his knees, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he began to weep. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to cry a little bit. And he brought a stick. He brought a stick and he started to poke it into the ground like this and look up into the sky. You know, a person with that kind of reaction, it's as though he had just received something new about the state of the people of death. And it had affected him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he wasn't the messenger of God, Allahu alam, what would have happened to him? Allah had given him strength. Because he used to say, if you were to know what I know about the people after they die, you would have laughed very little in your life and cried the majority of your life. And if I wanted, I would have asked Allah to let you hear what's going on to the people in the grave, for those disbelievers or those whose souls have been evil souls. But because you bury your people in there, I fear to tell you, because then you'll bury no one in the graves afterwards. And you'll have a miserable life. It is the mercy of Allah that we forget. So just stay the way you are, inshallah, and assume the best of your Lord. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Hadith al-Qudsi, أَنَا عِنْدَ حُسْنِ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. I am the way my servant thinks of me. Think of him good, and you work towards it, it'll be good, inshallah. And then he said to his companions, تَعَوَّذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ. As-salamu rahmatullah. Seek refuge in Allah from the punishment of the grave. And they sought refuge. Then he said again, تَعَوَّذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ. Seek refuge in Allah from the punishment of the graves. And they all said, اللَّهُمَّ إِنَّا نَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ. And he said it a third time, تَعَوَّذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ. And they said it a third time, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ from the punishment of the grave. Seek refuge in Allah. Then the Prophet ﷺ looked at us and said, and the way that the companions were in front of him, a companion says, we were gathered with so much serenity on our hearts and quietness, and we're so close to each other that if a bird came past and dropped a dropping, it'll fall on one of us. You know, it won't miss. That's how close we were to each other. And he said, إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ إِذَا كَانَ بِانْقِطَاعٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. He talks about the believing soul now. Starts off with the believing soul. إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ إِذَا كَانَ بِانْقِطَاعٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. The believing person, when he is about to depart from this world, to be detached from the world, وَإِقْبَالٍ مِنَ الْآخِرَةِ, and he is almost about to go into the hereafter, نَزَلَ إِلَيْهِ مَلَكَانِ بِيضُ الْوُجُوهِ كَأَنَّ وُجُوهَهُمُ الشَّمْسِ. Two beautiful angels will come down from the sky. They have got beautiful faces full of light, as if their face is the sun itself. That's how much light they have. وَمَعَهُمْ حَنُوطٌ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَأَكْفَانٌ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ. They have perfume from paradise. And they have a shroud from paradise. Now to say the rest in English, inshallah, to buy ourselves time. And then they wrap him and they place the perfume in him, and the angel of death is there. And he says to the soul of the believer, come out to a pleasure from your Lord. Come out to a luxury that you are going to receive from your Lord. أَيَّتُهَا الرُّوحُ الطَّيِّبَةُ. O beautiful, pure soul. The Prophet ﷺ said, the soul of the believer comes out, or the angel of death takes it out, in this way. Just like water spilling from a jug. Can you imagine water spilling from a jug? How does it spill out? You can see it. It spills out softly, smoothly, purely, beautifully. There are no obstacles in coming out. كَفِيِّ السِّقَاءِ. Or I don't know if you have it, I mean, Lebanese have this, and I think Turkish people have this. They drink with it like this up, and the water sort of comes out of the nozzle. Have you ever seen that? It's got a nozzle that comes out. It comes out beautifully, huh? It's water coming out like a fountain. So it says the soul comes out as smoothly as that. What a description. And the two angels, they don't allow the angel of death to hold it for long at all. For as soon as they can, they take the soul off him, and they place it in this beautiful shrouding and perfume from Jannah. And they climb up with it into the heavens. And every angel that it passes by, because there are angels everywhere on earth, in between the skies, as you're going, at the first level, everywhere. Angels are uncountable. And each time it passes an angel or a group of angels, they say, من هذه الروح الطيبة? Whose beautiful soul is this? And the angels who are carrying it will say, فلان ابن فلان, so-and-so son of so-and-so, بأحسن الأسماء الذي كانوا يسمونه بها, with the best names that he was ever called with on this earth. And they will welcome it until it reaches the first heavens or the first sky. And it has the first skies of gates. Only Allah knows how these gates are and what their nature is. But there are gates. How much do we know of the universe and the black hole and the stars? We hardly know anything. What's up there? تَخَلْقُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَكْبَرُ مِنْ خَلْقِ النَّاسِ. Allah says the creation of the universe and the earth is much bigger and more phenomenal than the creation of the human body. For the angels, there are angels at the gates of the first sky. And they say, who is this soul for, this beautiful soul? And they'll call it by its beautiful names. And they ask for the gates to be opened for it. And the gates will be opened. And then it reaches the second. And every time it passes by a group of angels, they'll say the same thing and welcoming it. Well, imagine that, ya akhwan. You've just now departed from the world and there is a welcoming from a creation made of light. There is no darkness in there. There is no hatred. You are the famous one. You are popular among these enormous creatures, beautiful creatures you've never eyes laid on. And no one else can see this. And if we hadn't been told by Allah and His Messenger, we wouldn't have known this reality. We only say what Allah and His Messenger tell us. For we believe in what they tell us of the unseen. It says it reaches a point very high. In some hadith it says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to them, take this soul so it can see its kingdom and its property in heaven. And then by the time the body is prepared for burial, the soul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders them to return the soul back. This is in the hadith of the Prophet, so I'm continuing. He says, take it back. فَمِنْهَا خَلَقْنَاهُمْ وَفِيهَا نُعِدُ وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُهُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى. From the soil we created the body and to them, and to it we will return them, and from it we will resurrect them once again. Return the soul back to the body. It's going to be questioned in the grave. And they return it into the body. The Prophet ﷺ said, then two angels will come to him. Munkarun wa nakir. Munkar wa nakir. It is an Arabic terminology of creatures that are unknown. Unidentified, unknown. Munkar, meaning don't know what it is. Nakir, even more unknown. Munkar, nakir. One that has never been thought of or imagined. Nakir, another one that has never been known or identified. They're just different expressions the Prophet ﷺ gave, munkar wa nakir. You cannot tell what they are. Their images is horrific. It's unbearable. And you can't say what they are. You just say they're creatures of some sort. Some of them will seem monstrous, monsters. They are quite horrific, munkar wa nakir. They look the same for the believer and the disbeliever. But the difference is, for the believer, Allah says in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يثبت الله الذين آمنوا منكم بالقول الثابت في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthens and makes firm those of you who believe in Allah. Makes you firm in this life, in your iman, and will make you firm in the hereafter, meaning in your grave and in the day of judgment. You will not be afraid. As Allah says in another verse, لَا يَحْزُنُهُمُ الْفَزَعُ الْأَكْبَرُ. The great fear, the great terror will not affect them. But that's later on. I'll talk to you about that one later on, what happens there in next lessons to come when the day of judgment arrives. Or the lesson about the day of judgment arrives. So the angels will come and they will wake him up and say, مَا رَبُّكُ. They'll ask him three questions. مَا رَبُّكُ. Who is your Lord? وَمَا دِينُكُ. What is your religion? وَمَاذَا تَقُولُ بِالرَّجُلِ الَّذِي بُعِثَ فِيكُمْ. And what do you say about that man who was sent as a messenger among you? In another hadith, you probably hear about وَمَا كِتَابُكُ. What is your book? And he will say, my Lord is Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. I believed in him and worshipped him. My religion is Islam, and the man is my prophet. I heard about him and I believed in him and followed him. And the angels will say to him, sleep or rest. Rest, for what is going to come is going to be better, O beautiful soul. And then he is told to look, or she is told to look to their left. And a little opening, a gateway is opened. And they see hellfire burning itself. Terrible, terrible place. And they will say to him, I don't know if it's Munkar wa Nakir or other angels that will be there. They will say to him, nevertheless, look at that. And the person in the grave moves away, says, that is your place. That is your place. And Allah created that place for you. But because you chose to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have saved yourself from that place. You will never go in there. And they close it. See, Rasulullah ﷺ told us that every person has a place in heaven or hell. And whichever one you hold on to is the one you earn. Then they open a door from the right. And he sees paradise, palaces, beauty, nur, indescribable beauty. And he loves it. And they say to him, this is what is awaiting for you now. You have earned it and you are going there. This is your kingdom. But as soon as he sees that, the Prophet ﷺ says, the person in the grave says, dua, makes a dua, says, Allahumma Rabbi aqim as-sa'a, ya Rabbi aqim as-sa'a, oh my Lord, let the world end. Let the world end, hatta adhaba ila ahli wa mali, so I may go to my family and belongings in paradise. I want to go there. Please end it quickly. He wants the world to erupt so he can go there because of what he has seen. In another hadith, also sahih, where as they are in the grave, their grave opens up as far as they could see. And it is filled with a garden from the gardens of paradise. As the Prophet ﷺ told us, إِمَّا رَوْضَ وَالْقَبْرُ صُنْدُوقُ الْعَمَلِ, as the poet says, based on the hadith. And then he said, إِمَّا رَوْضَةٌ مِنْ رِيَاضِ الْجَنَّةِ وَإِمَّا حُفْرَةٌ مِنْ حُفَرِ النَّارِ. It is either a garden from the gardens of paradise or a pit from the pits of hellfire. And a person comes to him and sits with the person in the grave. His face is full of companionship and lovely company. And you say to that person, who are you? For your face is the face that brings khayr. This is also in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, sahih. فَوَجْهُكَ الَّذِي يَجِئُ بِالْخَيْرِ. Your face brings good fortune. It brings good news. You know, when someone comes to you with a smiley face and you say, wow, you know, my heart opened up. I love your company. You only say good things. You compliment me. You give me good news. Contrast that to a person who comes with a miserable face and you know that he's got bad news for you. This person comes to you with good news And you say, وَجْهُكَ الَّذِي يَجِيءُ بِالْخَيْرِ. Your face is the face that brings only good news. And the person says to him, أَنَا عَمَلُكَ الصَّالِحِ. I am your good actions, your righteous actions. Look, you've turned me into this beautiful company for you. And he says, أَنَا لَا أُفَارِقُكَ أَبَدًا. I will never depart from you. I'll keep you company here. So you don't be lonely. In the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the moments that he will be closest to his servant is when they are in the grave with no anis or jalis, with no companion of their family from this life. He will be very close to them to look after them. So when a person dies or passes away in your family or someone friendly to you, always remember that no one, a stranger has not captured him. He's not imprisoned. He's not kidnapped. But he is taken away by the most merciful Allah who created you and them. So he's in good hands, inshallah. The bad soul, however, is in contrast to that. Rasulullah ﷺ told us, as for the bad soul, the opposite happens. Two angels who look terrible, whose face is darkened and horrible, they come down. And the angel of death stands at the head. And the two angels bring with them ugly smelling smell from hellfire and a shroud from hellfire. And the angel of death says, أخرجي أيتها الروح الخبيثة. Come out, O dirty, stinking soul. Come out to a wrath from your Lord and a displeasure from him. Well, the hadith says that the soul runs away inside the body. And he rips it out. When he rips it out, Rasulullah gives an example, an image, like a thorny tree inside of wet wool, and you rip it out. Until the veins and everything inside sort of rip away, metaphorically speaking. Or is it really in reality? Only Allah knows how. But the point is, he feels it or she feels it, as though all of the veins and arteries in their body are ripped apart. And I've heard and seen myself actually, just one case, not as bad as this, but I've heard even worse cases. People, yani, from this area actually, went to a janazah last year, and the brother said, I was at my father's deathbed at the hospital, and next to him were people, non-Muslims, yani, not, well, disbelievers. Allahu alam, what they have done of deeds, only God knows what bad things they've done. He said, they're dying, and wallahi, brother, I don't know why, but I see them jumping up and down off their bed, as if someone's grabbed them and they're just throwing them up and down like that. I've heard it from many people, yani. And the nurses say this is normal. They get up and they smash their heads back on, and they have to put them on morphine just to calm the body down. As his father died peacefully. We ask Allah to have mercy on his brother's father, and onto Mautana, Mautan Muslim, and all of our dead ones. But it's not a simple matter. He says, as soon as the angel of death carries the soul, the two angels grab it. And they put it in this shroud from hellfire and this ugly smelling stuff from hellfire, and they go up into the heavens as well. They all get the opportunity to go through, brothers and sisters. The believing soul and the disbelieving soul, according to the hadiths, they all get the opportunity to go up. And every time it passes a group of angels, they say, whoa, what is this stinking soul? And they say, Fulan ibn Fulan, so-and-so, son of so-and-so, with the worst names that there was ever called in this world. The worst. And everyone run away from it. It will reach the first sky. And the angels will say, what is this stinking soul? And they will say, so-and-so, son of so-and-so, with the worst names. It will be asked to open the doors for it. And they refuse. Allah says this in the Quran, actually.
إن الذين كفروا بآياتنا واستكبروا عنها لا تفتح لهم أبواب السماء ولا يدخلون الجنة حتى يلج الجمل في سم الخياط.
الله أكبر. This is a great warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's saying those who disbelieved in our ayat, our signs, واستكبروا عنها, and they felt and they had arrogance and vanity over it. They thought they're too good for it. The doors of the skies will not open for them. This is in the tafsir, this is what happens. When the soul goes up, the doors of the sky close. They're not allowed in. They are exiled, they are prevented. لا تفتح لهم أبواب السماء. The doors of the heavens will not open for them. ولا يدخلون الجنة. And they will never enter paradise. حتى يلج الجمل في سم الخياط. Listen to this description that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. He said, they will never enter paradise until the camel enters through the hole of a needle. Of a needle that you sew with. You know the needle that you put the thread through? He goes, when the camel enters through that hole, they'll enter paradise. This is in the Quran. حتى يلج الجمل في سم الخياط. And he never. Is it possible for a camel to enter through that hole of a needle? Never. That's what Allah says. Or the angels throw the soul down from the top. They throw it. And because Allah says this in the Quran as well about those who made shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That they will be thrown from the sky. And this is in Surah Al-Hajj. It says that they will be thrown from the heavens down onto the earth. Into the body. The body would have been prepared. And it will enter the grave. The Prophet ﷺ said, Munkar wa Nakir, come to it. And they woke it up with terror. It wakes up and sees this monstrosity in front of it. Obviously for them, there is no firmness of the heart. For they died disbelieving. They don't want him, Allah. Allah doesn't want them, therefore, because they chose not to want him. And the angels will ask them, مَنْ رَبُّكَ مَا دِينُكَ مَاذَا تَقُولُ بِرَجُلَ ذِي بَعْثَ. They ask them the same three questions. But Allah does not give them the answer on their tongue. Rather, he makes their minds so cloudy with this fear that they say, لَا أَدْرِي لَا أَدْرِي لَا أَدْرِي I don't know. The word here, what the interpretation of it is that they used to remember, some of them, or they're trying to remember, but for some reason they just can't. As if they know the answer, but they can't remember it, they can't recall it. La adri, I don't know. They're now asking the second question. La adri, I just don't know. And then a door from the right is opened, and they see heaven. And they say, this is your place. It was awaiting you, but you lost it. Then they close it, and they open a door from the left, and he sees hellfire. He says, that's what's awaiting you now. But as soon as he says this, the hadith of Prophet ﷺ says, فيقول, the kafir, the disbeliever says, يَا رَبِّ لَا تَقِمِ السَّاعَ. Oh my Lord, don't let the last hour come. Don't let the world end. Let it go. His grave is tightened, not as far as he could see at all. And it is حُفْرَةٌ مِنْ حُفَرِ النَّارِ, a pit from the pits of hellfire, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. So he burns somewhat. And a company that brings bad news comes and sits with him. Horrible monster. And he says, مَنْ أَنْتَ فَوَجْهُكَ الَّذِي يَجِئُ بِالشَّرِ. Who are you, for your face brings bad news? And he says, أَنَا عَمَلُكَ الْخَبِيثِ. I am your bad actions. Look what you turned me into. أَنَا لَا أُفَارِقُكَ أَبَدًا. I will never leave you. So this is the state of the believing soul and the disbelieving soul. Does the person see anything now as they are dying? The hadith that we read about indicates that there is a type of consciousness to the soul when it is coming out of the body or close to its death. It has a consciousness of the angel of death and the angels around it. And you hear the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ says the soul runs into the body, doesn't want to come out. The body's still alive, but it doesn't want to come out because it knows. So there is consciousness that it is coming out. And that's when the soul reaches the gargling point, and right to the end over here, most likely. There are many stories that we hear about of people dying, and you personally have heard many of them from people very close to me, who say things as though there are presence of people in there, in the room, but they're not. But we cannot see them. And I remember, rahmatullah alayhi, my own grandfather, who died. I wasn't there, but I was still a baby at that time, but I remember my grandmother telling me, may Allah have mercy on her soul too, says, when your grandfather was dying, he'd tell me, please give me some water, I need to drink water. So give him some water, and then he'd say, sit me up and clean the house. Look at these beautiful guests, open up some space for them. He used to say that, wallahi. And not only from my grandfather, from many other stories like that, from close friends of mine. He'd drink some water and say, I'm ready to meet them now. I'm ready to tell them to come in. Tell why they're outside. Tell them to come in. I don't want to mention names. Maybe some of you might know them. But these are very close people to us. And maybe some of you might know them as well. So we hear these stories. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only knows. But the point is, you will see it and you will know it. Sooner or later. Allah says in the Quran, كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. Behold, you shall soon come to know. ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. And then again I swear, you are going to know very soon. Aisha radiallahu anha, when she talks about when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was dying on her, when he had his head between her neck and her chest, so on the sternum, and he was sick, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bodily sick, and he was dying. She says, I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam suddenly lift his head up and put his arms out like that, as if he was saying, Rabbi, Uridu Rabbi, my Lord, I want my Lord. Jibril alayhi salam, in the hadith it tells us that Jibril alayhi salam had come to him and gave him a choice whether he wants to die or go to his Lord. Or the angel of death gave him that option. And Jibril alayhi salam said to him, your Lord misses you. And he said, Rabbi, Uridu Rabbi, I need my Lord, I want my Lord. Qad ishtaqtu ila Rabbi, I miss my Lord as well. So there is, you know, moments. And he is the messenger, sallallahu alayhi salam, of course. But these are some narrations of the time of persons passing from here to the other life. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that when a person dies, you must hasten to bury them quickly. Why? There are many wisdoms in that. The hadith of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, hurry in burying your dead. For if it is a good soul, then rush it to its luxuries and to its na'im and rewards. Why are you detaining it? Take it so you can enjoy it very quickly. The soul will be waiting. But if it's a bad soul, you can get rid of it quickly off your shoulders. You don't want to hold a bad soul on your bad body. Get rid of it. There are other wisdoms to why we bury the people quickly, the dead. One of them, subhanAllah, it has this special effect on the family. It eases their pain. Ask any family who've had some people passed away. So long as they're still in the morgue or with the coroner or at the masjid, they feel the job hasn't been completed. And as soon as they bury them and they cry a little bit and they go home, khalas, the peace starts coming back slowly. And the memory, you forget a little bit afterwards and the pain goes away slowly. As soon as it's buried, abadan. I have been to, you know, dozens and dozens of janazas. And every time I see this, the family beforehand, oh, I've seen families, they've gone crazy in crying and misery. As soon as the body's buried, shortly afterwards, khalas, they start to calm down. It has an effect. It's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, the body decomposes and decays. And it's out of respect and honor for the body, so and out of mercy to the parents that they don't see this in the body. Because it starts changing form. This is a body. And this body will decay, ya akhwan. It goes into soil. The only thing that's left is the soul. And so this is a wisdom. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, كَسْرُ عَظْمِ الْمَيِّتِ عَظْمُ الْمَيِّتِ كَكَسْرِهِ حَيِّ. Breaking the bone of a person dead is like breaking it when he's alive. What this means is, some people misunderstood it. They think that the dead person feels the breaking like as if he's living. No. The meaning of this hadith is that the treatment of the dead person should be respected as if he's still alive. So you honor them and treat them and cover their awrah and treat them as if they're living. How would you treat a person that's living? You treat them like when they are dead. For in Islam, you must honor the dead person's body. For example, a woman washes a woman, a man washes a man, and you cover the awrah, and you clean them up, and you put perfume on them, you make dua for them, you can kiss them on the cheek to farewell them, you can do all these things, make dua for them, handle the body with care, all these things. As if they're living. Don't cut it, don't torture it, or yeah, you don't do any bodily damage to it. So we must hurry it to bury it. in a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some, yani, I'm not sure of its authenticity, however, it is in the books of those books that talk about janaiz and death. One of those books is called At-Tadhkira, and it speaks about that the soul comes back and it can see how its body is being washed and prepared. And if it's a good soul, it says, hurry up with it, hurry up with it. And if it's a bad soul, it says, woe to you, where are you taking it, where are you taking it? Nonetheless, the meaning of this is correct. Yani, the soul would love it to be quickened. If it is good, and if it is bad, it doesn't want to go. Now, this is the body that we have. And there is a soul. Allah told us in the Quran, وَيَسَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. They ask you about the soul, you don't know much about it. Say, it is a matter that's only known by my Lord. وَمَا أُوتِيتُ مِنْ عِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. I've only given very little amounts of knowledge. Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, it is being told to him. So we have a ruh, a soul inside of us. This soul, my dear brothers and sisters, actually doesn't perish. According to the Quran and Sunnah, the soul stays. The body perishes. All these feelings that you feel right now on this world are different to the feelings that the soul feels. It is a little bit similar, if you want a bit of an example, to when you're asleep. You could probably look at a person who is asleep and you see their body sound asleep as if they're peaceful. Isn't that correct? But sometimes you may have a nightmare and you're struggling, and there are people who feel pain during the night and think it's real. And then suddenly they wake up and they're breathing heavily. They say, why didn't you, you know, stop me? Why didn't you come and help me? If someone's there, you say, well, you were sleeping peacefully. And they don't see what you're going through. And sometimes you'd be in a total bliss and beauty in your dreams. And on the outside, you can't see it. It's just the body sleeping. Similar to that, but on more of a real scale, reality. This is how what happens when you're actually dead. The body, khalas, it's dead. You look at it, it's dead. It's decaying, it goes into soil. There's no more existence to it. But what actually goes into that next life is the soul. And the soul is returned to the grave. In a world that you and I cannot see or witness. Just similar to how when your body is there, but and your soul is there, but you're asleep and it's somewhere else, but it's still there. That's why you're still alive. And it goes into a world called al-barzakh. If you open up a grave, you won't see this. But what this occurrence, all these things that are happening, they are happening in the world called al-barzakh. And al-barzakh is mentioned in the Quran. But before I explain it, the literal definition of the word barzakh is a barrier. A barrier. Allah says in the Quran, for example, in Surah Al-Rahman, بَيْنَهُمَا بَرُزَخٌ لَا يَبْغِيَانِ. When he talks about two oceans, one is salty, one is sweet. Between them there is a barrier. They will not transgress. They don't pass. So a barrier cuts off between this side and that side. You can't go over to the other side. Islamically, al-barzakh is the existence of a unique and different reality, a world of a different and unique reality between this world and between the Day of Judgment. It's not the Day of Judgment and it's not this world. It's a world in between there, where the soul survives there. The soul is there temporarily. Where the souls are detained outside of the body, it is the world of the dead. There are many hadiths about it, such as this hadith. Rasul ﷺ tells us, when a person dies, if it's a believer, the soul goes and meets, yes, it meets and speaks to the believing souls that have died of the past. So you get to meet family who have died, but the good ones. And they all rush to that soul, just like when a person's come from a journey, from overseas. Everyone comes and asks, how's my family, how's my this, how's that, and tell us about. So they rush to it to ask about their family and their brothers and sisters and their loved ones. But what they're asking about is not how their wealth is or how their state is in health. They ask them about their state of deen. Are they praying? Are they religious? And if they give an affirmative answer, they get happy because they know that they're going to come and see them. They're going to come to the good side. But if they say to them that they're not, they get upset and sad. And if they say, some of them say, they have passed away, they bit me, they get sad as well. Because if you beat them and they're not with them, it means they've gone to the other side. The good souls don't meet with the bad souls over there. If it's a bad soul, it goes to the bad souls. And they rush to it as well. But we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather our souls with the good souls, with the believers in al-barzakh, the good barzakh. Allah says in the Quran, وَمِن وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. And after them, meaning after this life, there is a barzakh until the day they are resurrected. This is in the Quran. So that means there exists a world that you and I cannot see or witness, because we're here now, between this world, after you die, right, it keeps going right until the day people are resurrected. It's called the barzakh world. In the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is in Bukhari and Muslim, but before I say this hadith is quite long, I don't know how much time we have. It is time. Okay, we'll leave this hadith, inshallah, next week, to give you examples, scenarios, images of what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw in the world of the barzakh. Next week, inshallah, we will talk about the world of the barzakh. What is happening now and what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw. Jazakumullahu khair. Till next week, inshallah, same time. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.